it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, go back to the phone lines before we get to the pick six recap. Let's go to Tim, who is in Massachusetts. Aren't we all, Tim? What's up, Tim?
Not much, gentlemen. Hey, I just want to say I'm happy for the Pats winning, and Drake May had a great game. The only thing I don't want to see is Drake May running around like a rabid fox is chasing him. I want to see him be able to sit back, throw the ball. If it's not there, go ahead and then run it, but try and throw it before he runs.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate the what Dan Ball said in my ear was a Tedism. He doesn't want Drake May looking like a rabid fox is chasing him. I actually didn't think that was an issue in this game. We talked about week one, Fitzy. He was overly cautious, looked like he was sliding a little early. I thought he was a little bit more comfortable and aggressive. Did he get hit?
On any of the slides?
No, this week. I'm talking about did he take any big hits? I didn't see anything
big
that
hits?
Was crazy.
No, he was sacked three times.
No. Sacks are not his fault. I'm talking about running. Tim was questioning his ability to run the football, running around like he was being chased by a rabid coyote. He was fine. He ran smart. He ran out of bounds. He ran into the end zone. They're not allowed to hit you once you get in the end zone, so he got into the end zone. That was great. I did not think he was dangerous at all in this game.
One time he did. You know what it was, Andy? It was he did have that one rushing touchdown to the right pylon. There was one time where he didn't see anyone open, and after 3-4 seconds,
he got
left.
Pushed and slid on the moist turf.
But it was not like that's the closest I can think to that Drake May was like roughed up.
I mean, just because it looks like a slip and slide on the moist turf doesn't mean that it was dangerous for your quarterback. For moist crying turf. Out loud,
yeah.
So Tim, I agree he needs to stay healthy. I agree he needs to stay out of harm's way. I just didn't think he was at harm's way in this game. Let's go back to the phone line 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So, I'm happy a good win. I got one thing to pick on Drake May. The fact that he referred to Aaron Rodgers as the GOAT. You cannot be in the Patriots and put Aaron Rodgers' name out there as a GOAT in front of Tom Brady.
Thanks for the call, David.
Fire him.
You can, and he did, because his GOAT doesn't have to be your GOAT, even though your answer is the actual GOAT. I agree with you, but he's allowed to have an opinion. Like, I don't know. Why we were going to kick him out of the team?
You said childhood idol when we revisited it today. I remembered that last year. That obviously it stirred up a little bit of an online hornet's nest for everybody when it happened last year. I just thought I'd revisit it.
Like, there are kids now that probably grow up thinking Aaron Judge is great. Enjoy watching Aaron Judge, right? In New England. Oh, my God. What if one of them grows up to be a Red Sox? Is he allowed to say that he idolized Aaron Judge when he was in his formative years?
No.
We all have heroes in our formative years, and we don't get to pick, right? It's kind of like love in a weird way. The player you latch on to, you don't really get a say in. It just kind of happens.
Oh, Andy, you love who you love.
Right. And if I love like Bo Belichick Jackson, favorite players growing up were Bo Jackson. Makes a lot of sense, right? Greatest ever. You know who my favorite Red Sox was? Marty frickin' Barrett. And everybody's like, Marty Barrett? That guy kind of wasn't really all that good. Like, you fall in love with who you fall in love with. Just because the guy's not a Hall of Famer doesn't mean you don't, nah.
I think I heard that guy on Jones and Keefe, Random Baseball Player of the Day, not too long ago.
Oh, Marty Barrett is better Marty than Barrett? A Random Baseball Player of the Day.
His most inglorious stat is that he struck out to end the 1986 World Series off Jesse Orosco.
Actually, wasn't there some talk he might win the playoff MVP or something?
Yeah, at one point he was up for MVP of the 86 World Series.
I was a second baseman. I was like,
and that's
chubby
when chubby Nick Stevens broke out into hysterics, and then his mom let him skip the next day of school.
Yes, Dan Ball.
I thought you were a third baseman.
Oh, in high school?
Yeah.
Until they moved me to second base.
Why? What happened?
Bad throws.
Ah, gotcha.
I couldn't make the throw from third base, so they said, hey, go. Oh, no, I didn't knob-block it. I don't even know what you would call it. What's it called when you throw it into the stands?
Knob-blocking it.
Just absolutely missling it into the stands.
You Anthony Volpe it, apparently.
Yeah. Cam Newton did. He famously did that at the scouting combine. Maybe Jamarcus Russell did. Those were more my style of throws. But Dan Ball, time for you to take over. It is time for the recap of the pick six, which hasn't opened.
A pick six!
He's picked! Touchdown on a pick six!
Jones with the pick six!
And he flips the game!
Let's go!
Let's go indeed, Tom Brady. Time to recap how we did on this week's picks here on the pick six. It says we can begin right at the beginning with our guy, Andy Hart. Andy Hart made the pick against the game of the week easily that we were looking forward to. The Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's start with number one.
Hurts shoving his way in. He's in! Touchdown, Philadelphia!
The brotherly shove, the tush push, was once again at the center of the headlines, but the Eagles were able to win and cover 20-17. The Chiefs are 0-2 for the first time since 2014 and the first time in the Mahomes era. The last six times they started 0-2. Andy Hart, they missed the playoffs, so you were correct this week.
I also have to thank Travis Kelce because there was a touchdown about to be scored.
He
Zach Sudfelded it. That's the closest thing I can remember. Zach Sudfeld did that to Tom Brady in Buffalo.
It.
And I that is just unbelievable to me that Travis Kelce does that. Also need to thank Patrick Mahomes for missing Tyquan Thornton uncovered deep down the left sideline in the comeback attempt. He overthrew him by like 7 yards. I believe Tom Brady said in the moment, oh, that makes you sick to see that, or something to that effect. He was so stunned that Patrick Mahomes missed Thornton.
Yeah, that was a tough one. And then the brotherly shove just got the best of them time and time again. And
well, they were cheating. They were false starting. I agree with the Chiefs on that. There were times they were false starting and they didn't call it.
Didn't Chris Jones give some words across the line and then someone told him to STFU because they lost the game?
Oh, he was talking crap to Jalen Hurts. He's like, you only had 100 yards. He's like, we won the game, STFU. And I'm on Jalen Hurts' side. When you win the game, the scoreboard tells the other team to shut the hell up. Also, Hot Mike, the former NFL head of officiating, Dean Blandino, was caught heard saying at the end of one of his analysis, I'm done with the tush-push play and trying to officiate it.
Meow.
It's still a play, so figure it out.
It is for the time being, but a lot of conjecture this morning was, it's a play for one more year.
Okay, don't bring it up when Ted's here.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised, Dan Ball, if it does get bounced from the NFL by next year.
I would completely agree. Okay, let's move on. We'll split this up into three and three. We can finish these in odds and ends because we're running a little bit late. Let's go to number two, Stiz.
Young has those two young wide receivers, McMillan, but they give chase. Football is loose. What's the call here? Is that a live football? Touchdown!
Cardinals defense, great once again to start the game, forcing a fumble and scoring. It was the Cardinals 27, the Panthers 22. So Fitzy had the right team, but the Cardinals, after covering for us by half a point, missed by a point and a half. Cardinals are now 2-0 despite their wide receiver core, excluding Marvin Harrison Jr., having a grand total of 29 receiving yards.
Wow, Pop Douglas could play there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's actually stunningly accurate. What happened? I thought that felt like such a bad beat. The Cardinals were up by more than the point spread all game, and then I checked around 7:30 and saw it didn't cover. Son of a blank.
It's gambling.
Just the way it goes, and we move our way on to Ted Johnson's pick number three.
Go, and Algier walks into the end zone for the game's first touchdown.
Ted was the only one to pick the underdog, and he might have been the most right out of everybody this week. Falcons 22, Vikings 6, covering the Falcons plus 3.5-point spread. J.J. McCarthy's passer rating in this one was 37.5. Meanwhile, J.J. McCarthy's passer rating, if he just spiked the ball into the ground on every pass attempt, would have been 39.6. You can't spell interception without it, Andy Hart.
And that was the Parker Romo show. Why can't we get kickers like that?
Five. Count them. Five made field goals. And he got the walk-off interview on Sniff with the Sunday Night Football crew.
He did. And introduced himself to one of his teammates live on national television who he didn't know he was standing next to.
Hi, Parker. Nice to meet you. So we'll leave it there. We'll get to our Behind the Glass boys on the other side, Andy Hart, of this commercial break.
Here's a teaser, though. It doesn't end with us making money when we finish up the parlay. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Odds and Ends.
WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Now that halftime is over, we get back to the third and fourth quarter here on the Pick 6 recap on WEEI Afternoons, and we throw it back down to the field for Dan Ball.
All right, thank you, Andy. We're 2-1 so far, so Andy Hart, Ted Johnson correct in their picks. Let's move on to pick number 4.
Third and 5 now for the LA offense. Stafford tosses, end zone, touchdown, Devontae Adams. Stafford hits him in stride.
It was the Rams 33, the Titans 19, covering my pick of Rams minus 5.5 in the game. Wide receiver Devontae Adams passed Michael Irvin in career receiving yards and moved into 32nd in NFL history. Not that high up on the list, but still, Devontae Adams' first touchdown as a member of the Rams, and the Rams win and cover.
As a fantasy holder of Devontae Adams, hopefully the first of many. Fitzy, I know you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You and Stiz are battling this week in fantasy. Before you take your victory lap, I just want you to know you're beating a person who in week 2 asked, hey, how do you score points in this fantasy thing?
So, I get the general idea.
Andy, sometimes you're in a way that it feels good to dunk on a child in the driveway.
Okay, well, enjoy that dunk.
I don't know how you do it, but that's the questions we're asking back here behind the glass. On to number 5 we go.
Oh, bad bounce goes through the hands of Caleb Johnson. He may have touched that ball. That would be a live ball. Let's see what the ruling is here. It is a touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Yeah, bizarre one out in Pittsburgh this weekend. Under the NFL's new kickoff rule, any ball that lands in the landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line and goes into the end zone must be returned or downed by the receiving team. Otherwise, it's a live ball.
Yeah, it's a live ball.
Twitter knew that. Caleb Johnson did not. Final score, Seahawks 31, Steelers 17. Not covering Stiz's Steelers minus 3.
Awesome. I was feeling really good in the beginning. I'll tell you that. They were rolling.
Yeah, I know. Fitzy knew that too, as we learned.
And when I proclaimed the Steelers winners on the postgame show, and then later had to walk that one back, I mayo-fied that one something wicked yesterday. Stiz, you're not alone.
That's an embarrassing play for that player. It's also just an embarrassing play for the coaches, the organization. Like, how you spend all this time coaching, that didn't come up at any point with any of your returners. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's on your special teams coordinator, wouldn't it be?
Yep.
Don't you have to review those kind of things?
Jeremy Springer wouldn't let that happen.
Never in a million years. Last one, Stiz.
Aubrey, does he have enough? On the way, it is! Good! That's why they trusted him! Never a doubt! 46 to try and win this thriller. Aubrey got it into overtime and now wins it! What a ball game! Cowboys in OT!
Joe Davis kind of nailed it. This moved over to my main screen after the Patriots game wrapped up. There was no doubt that Brandon Aubrey was making that game-tying field goal. He ends up making the tying game and the winner. It was Cowboys 40, Giants 37 in overtime. Most consecutive wins by a starting quarterback versus an opponent since 1980. Dak Prescott now has the record 14 wins against the Giants from 2017 to present, jumping over Tom Brady against the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. Wow, they got to do one of those. Update the Wikipedia page for who owns the Giants. It's actually Dak Prescott.
That was a Fitzy voice.
Oh, that was great.
Fitzy doing Casey Kasem.
Yeah, spitting image.
I'm trying to figure out which voice is that. That sounds more like your trolling people voice than it does old-time announcer voice.
Might be trolling Fitzy. Yeah. Who knows?
So we went 3 for 3 on the day. We did not hit our parlay with the odds of plus 4472. Also, 3 of us on the show, not including myself or Andy, ended up picking the dollar. 3 of us picked the Patriots, 3 picked the Dolphins, so we split there as well.
Yeah, so we're not great. But we're going to get better. That's what it's early in the season.
We got a good baseball team.
Work to improve. That's what practice is for. Like Marcus Jones told us, you got to go back and learn to tackle. We got to learn to pick. It's all the same. Coming up now here, or in the midst of Odds and Ends on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations, also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Fitzy, did you know we're leading into football tonight? It's Monday Night Football, and there is a doubleheader. I believe this is one of the last doubleheaders because they're eliminating these moving forward. These are no longer going to be a thing.
Well, what? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I have said before, way back to even during COVID, I remember there was a rescheduled Ravens at Steelers game on a Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And I was like, NFL football this afternoon and or evening, please. Yes. And thank you. I love these ridiculous doubleheaders. Why would they do away with these?
I believe in one of the latest, wherever the TV contracts were going, streaming something, blah. I don't know. I didn't pay it. It was business related.
Oh,
and I think
hate this earth.
Yeah, the Monday night doubleheader. But you will have Monday night football here. And Dan Ball, what are the two games? What are the matchups for me?
The two games coming up tonight with coverage beginning at 6 o'clock here on WEEI. The first of which, the Buccaneers at 1-0 taking on the Houston Texans 0-1. It is Houston minus 2.5 as they are the home team this evening. Your thoughts on the first matchup?
My guy Nick Caley needs to get the offense rolling down in Houston. I don't believe they've scored a touchdown yet. You should probably start doing that if you want to upset the well, I guess they're favored, but I feel like the Bucs are the better team. The Bucs are the better team. Baker Mayfield is a guy. Some people think the Bucs are a Super Bowl contender. I'm not really on that bandwagon when I look at like the Packers and the Eagles and some of those top teams in the NFC. But let's go, Nick Caley.
If the guy Parker Romo took the place of or took the job of Younghoe Koo actually did his job last week, then the Buccaneers would be 0-1 on their way towards needing a win tonight against the Texans. That said, I feel like the Texans have slightly better defense than the Buccaneers, so I would look for them to squeak out the win. I will take the Texans to cover the 2.5.
Win a squeaker.
Next one, as we come up on the end here on WEEI Afternoons, Chargers at 1-0 taking on the 1-0, because they totally deserved it, Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers are favored on the road, so the Raiders are a home dog. It's Chargers minus 3.5. Your thoughts on the late one that Andy's totally going to be awake for?
Yeah, I love the Chargers in this game. I know this is a grudge match. Harbaugh, Carroll, battling it out. I won't see the game because I'll be asleep, but I may put a little something on the game, Fitzgerald.
And I'll put a little same on that because I think Justin Herbert has unlocked it for this season. Your AFC West champion Chargers get it done in Vegas against the Raiders.
That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. Want to thank Drake May and Marcus Jones for calling in after their week one victory. I would ask they maybe get better phones for future call-ins, but we'll leave that for another day. It is Monday Night Football. Got a couple games tonight. Enjoy some football. We'll be back tomorrow. It's going to be Tuesday. Ted Johnson will be here. Ted Talks galore. We'll also talk to Mark Schlereth and Brian Hoyer. I'm interested to get his take on why things went so well for Drake May down in Miami, a place that even Tom Brady struggled at times. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 to 6. See ya.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.